2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. A massive explosion rocked a Washington, D.C. suburb last night. Police say it leveled a home in Arlington as officers arrived to execute a search warrant after reports of someone firing a flare gun inside. This man lives nearby.
I was just in my house and had heard like a series of like what sounded like gunshots, which I guess now we found out were flare guns. And then went outside and no one else was coming outside. And then an explosion just happened and I thought someone drove like a car through our front door.
The fate of the person inside still not clear. Israel's bombardment in southern Gaza is intensifying. The BBC's Yolande Nell reports from Jerusalem.
We're hearing that Israeli tanks have continued to advance. They're not just on the outskirts of the city to the east from the direction of Israel, but they've also crossed the main road from north to south, the Salah ad-Din road, we're told, and have set up positions there just outside of Khan Yunis.
Israeli leaflets advise Palestinians told to seek shelter there at the beginning of the war to move on. College leaders will be on Capitol Hill today at a hearing on the rise of anti-Semitism at U.S. schools.
Since the conflict broke out in the Middle East, there have been hundreds of protests and counter-protests at colleges across the country.
It's tense. It's hostile.
Today, the presidents of Harvard, the University of Pennsylvania, and MIT will testify at a congressional hearing on anti-Semitism. Lawmakers will press them about how their colleges have responded and the safety of students. Stacy Lin, CBS News, Washington.
A volcano eruption in Indonesia is now blamed for 23 deaths. Rescuers on Mount Merapi are still searching for climbers who were on their way up the 9,500-foot peak when it erupted Sunday, shooting ash 2 miles into the sky. 10 people are still missing. Kids in the U.S. weren't the only ones struggling at school during the pandemic, though they fell an average of a half year or so behind in reading and math. A new study finds students in other countries, including Germany, Iceland, and the Netherlands, were worse off. Animal shelters across the country are in crisis, trying to keep up with an overwhelming number of pets awaiting adoption. Katie Hansen with Animal Care Centers in New York blames the high cost of caring for cuddly companions.
Inflation on products like pet food and pet care really affecting people that don't have the kind of paycheck that can handle those kind of fluctuations in price.
S&P futures are down 19, Dow futures off 108. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
Imagine.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the happiness.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin Senate's new top Democrat says her goal is to make sure every member of her party has a voice in the legislature. Democrats elected Senator Dianne Hesselbein as their new minority leader Friday. She replaces Melissa Agard, who's running for Dane County Executive. Hesselbein is from Middleton. Service workers at Lambeau Field overwhelmingly voted to form a union. Over 80% of those who voted Sunday voted in favor of unionization. They're looking to join the Milwaukee Area Service and Hospitality Workers Union, which also includes workers at the Fiserv Forum in the Deer District in Milwaukee. Officials with both the Packers and Delaware North, the company that employs vendors at Lambeau Field, say they will negotiate with workers in good faith and hope to quickly ratify their first contract. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Bucks with an eye on Vegas. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks host the Knicks tonight for the knockout round in the NBA in-season tournament. Here's how Giannis described it.
Big game on big game. Playing, you call it playing
the
game.
Tuesday,
hopefully we can win the game and go to Vegas and try to fight for the opportunity to win a trophy.
At the baseball meetings in Nashville, the Brewers formally announced their record deal with prospect Jackson Chourio for 8 years and $82 million. They also re-signed left-hand pitcher Wade Miley for next season. NFL running back A.J. Dillon on that catch he made on the left side and ran over people for 14 yards against the Chiefs.
You know, I take a lot of pride in yards in the flat. You know, I've been able to do that kind of the last couple of weeks, be a reliable check down for Jordan. I don't care if it was for 1 yard or 10 yards, whatever it ended up being. You know, it's about showing up and it's about being consistent for me.
That's Packers running back A.J. Dillon. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
We could catch a few off and on flurries today, otherwise mostly cloudy with a high of 37 this afternoon. The wind out of the northwest at 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy, will drop to 23. Tomorrow will be mostly cloudy with a high right around 40. And then we're going to warm it up on Thursday with sunshine and highs in the upper 40s to near 50. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. From Lake Wissota State Park and the Pablo Center, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown. 93.5, The Tap. Okay.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Thank you, Don Rue. Welcome back. It is 7:06. This is Up North News Radio. Yes, live from Lake Wissota, where it's nice to have you along. And if you'd like to join us at some point during the program, our phone line is 844-967-2789, same as for most every Civic Media show, 844-967-2789. Call it or send us a text message and do that directly on your phone or do it through the Civic Media app. Or if you're watching us on Facebook, either at the Up North News Facebook page or the Civic Media Facebook page, again, feel free to put a comment there. And if you're not able to listen live all the time, but would like to catch us as a podcast on demand instead, head over to civicmedia.us. Not only will you find out more about all the shows, all the episodes, a map of all the stations, but you'll find links to subscribe to our shows as a podcast, and we'd love to have you do that. Greg Bach is in Waukesha with us this morning as well on this December 5th, which is International Ninja Day, which would explain why he's dressed in black and striking a pose for us already.
You can't see me.
It's also AFL-CIO Day, as I mentioned before. Today's National Blue Jeans Day. Are you in blue jeans as well as your ninja top?
I'm in black jeans right now. I'm wearing almost black.
You are a ninja today.
Yeah.
All right.
Except for my sweet green shoes.
Ooh. Wait a minute. Can you hold this up to the camera? Don't hurt yourself in the process. Oh, he takes the shoe off.
Yeah, Pat, because that's that bendy. Are you out of your mind?
No, guilty. Completely and totally guilty on that one. This is National Repeal Day. We spoke briefly a few minutes ago about the repeal of the 18th Amendment and ending Prohibition. National Soil Day, and I'm sure we'll bring that up to Hans Breitenmoser as we talk about farming. This is Walt Disney Day, marking the anniversary of his birth. This is Hand Washing Awareness Week, although I think every week has been Hand Washing Awareness Week now for yeah, going on 4 years. And this is also something called Krampusnacht.
Yeah.
Oh, you know about this.
Oh, I know about Krampusnacht.
I knew very little. Tell us, Father, whatever the character is in this thing.
So Krampus is an old-timey German Christmas figure. Uh-huh. And he is who comes to take care of the bad children.
Yes, he's kind of like a little devil.
Yeah, no, well, he's horrifying to look at. And yes, he comes, he collects the children, he puts them in the bag, and then he eats them.
Oh, that's great. Okay.
And in Bloomington, Indiana, they do Krampusnacht every year, and people dress up as Krampus. And one of the key things that Krampus does is Krampus holds a broom, and they will literally, in their costumes, come down the street and smack you in the ankles with it as a way of saying, bad child. And then they come collect you, and they eat you.
Wow.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. I mean, look, it's just he knows if you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake.
Oh, for God's sake,
so
be good.
So much kinder than this devil figure is going to eat you. Yeah. I mean, Christmas is not what it used to be when we would scare the crap out of the kids.
Well, I mean, it's not like, trust me, the kids find it hilarious now. They're like, they see way scarier things. Can I add something really quick, though? I wanted to look this up. I wanted to have this for the other segment regarding Repeal Day.
Yes.
That on December the 6th, today, or no, whenever it is, I can't see my watch. John J. Blaine of Wisconsin was the one who introduced the joint resolution that would go on to repeal prohibition.
Oh, okay.
So Wisconsin did it for you, America.
You're welcome. We'll go with that. Here's what else is coming up this hour. We mentioned that Hans Breiten Moser is going to join us as we preview the Wisconsin Farmers Union annual convention taking place this weekend. We'll look back at what the growing year was like for Wisconsin farmers. Remember, the year started out with quite a drought, and fortunately, we did not end the year that way, but we'll ask Hans how it may have impacted farmers' income this year, and then we'll get to some of the topics that are going to be discussed coming up this weekend. We'll visit with Chad Holmes from Bull Falls Radio, find out what he talks about on his program, and that comes up next on Bull Falls Radio up in Wausau on the Civic Media Radio Network. And again, if you don't catch Chad's show because you're not in the Wausau area, head over to civicmedia.us and subscribe to it as a podcast. Would love to have you along there as well. I would like to call your attention to a story in the Wisconsin Examiner, that's over at wisconsinexaminer.com, about a rare but well-earned moment of bipartisanship as Republicans and Democrats from around the state join in to ensure that Hmong veterans of the Vietnam War could receive the Congressional Gold Medal. The story by Samantha Deedle from the state's newsroom outlet, Wisconsin Examiner. And that's because, as the story notes, during the Vietnam War, the CIA recruited Hmong people as soldiers to help combat the spread of communism through Southeast Asia. These were folks who, by and large, were farmers in Laos. They served in intelligence operations. They disrupted the supply route known as the Ho Chi Minh Trail. They rescued U.S. pilots in what became known as the Secret War. Many died. Many others were taken prisoner, separated from their families forever. And after the war, many Hmong came to the United States and settled there. And I have to say that my experience, there were a few cities that really led the way. That included Wausau, Wisconsin, St. Paul, Minnesota, Eau Claire, Wisconsin, and others. But I just recall seeing in those communities this sense that, yes, these people were our allies. They are in danger. Yes, they should come here and start over. You know, contrast that with what we're seeing today from people who are also looking to escape war and work hard and have a better life. But we'll save that discussion for another time, because it's not like everything about Hmong resettlement was all peaches and cream. But looking back at history, it was by and large a good thing for the Hmong community and for the United States of America. Except that many of those Hmong elders still did not quite feel properly thanked and respected for their contributions during the Vietnam War. The article here notes that many elders were afraid that once the remaining Hmong veterans had passed away, that the U.S. might no longer respect the Hmong community. And that's not true, but it needs to be expressed better. And so there are members ranging from Tammy Baldwin and Ron Johnson to Democrats and Republicans elsewhere in Congress that are making sure that awarding a Hmong Congressional Gold Medal would be a huge step in recognizing Hmong veterans and honor them with the highest civilian award bestowed by Congress. There are about 320,000 Hmong Americans in the U.S., about 54,000 in Wisconsin. And it's just, it's nice to see that people that include also Republican Glenn Grothman, Democrat Gwen Moore, Republican Tom Tiffany, Democrat Mark Pocan, Republicans Brian Steil, Scott Fitzgerald, Derek Van Orden are among the 49 co-sponsors of this effort. So it's a rare piece of good news that comes out of Washington that we wanted to share with you this morning. Let's check temperatures this hour. It's a 7:15 right now. Not much change from the last hour where it's 31 degrees up here on Lake Wissota. Hayward's at 30, Park Falls 30, Wausau 30 degrees right now. Green Bay is at 33 degrees. In La Crosse, it is 34. Wisconsin Rapids 32. Oshkosh is at 33. Madison 32. And Waukesha right now coming in at 30 degrees. Jennifer Vucicki, meteorologist from Weatherology, joins us now to tell us what we can expect as we head through the rest of our Tuesday. Jen, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, well, it does look like there are some areas of fog for parts of western and southern Wisconsin early this morning, otherwise cloudy for all today. It does look like a few spotty areas of snow chances still early this morning, Milwaukee, Waukesha, over towards the Richland Center. A chance for some snow throughout the morning hours around Oshkosh through central Wisconsin, then dry for all by this afternoon. Mid to upper 30s, around 40 degrees across the board. Some parts of the listening areas are holding pretty steady compared to where they're currently at early this morning. So overall, not much movement here for those particular areas. Wednesday looks like partial sunshine for most, similar temperatures to today for most of the listening areas as well. However, starting to warm up a little bit around Amory and Baldwin as a warm front begins to push through the state, highs getting into the low 40s there. Thursday, sunshine for all, warmer as well, mid to upper 40s primarily. Our warmest spot around Richland Center and for southwestern Wisconsin getting into the low 50s. Then on Friday, it looks like sunny skies again and warmer for most, pretty breezy as well as that warm front fully pushes through. Highs in the mid to low 50s from Oshkosh through southern Wisconsin and mid to upper 40s from Wausau, Wisconsin Rapids, and over towards west central Wisconsin.
The light dusting of snow that we got up here on the lake a couple days back is still kind of lingering there on the driveway, but when you mentioned it getting back toward 40, and I love the self-satisfying smug look we get on our faces, those of us who have an asphalt driveway facing south. We're like, it'll be gone in a day or two. Can't do that all winter, but I'm going to do it today, Jen. So thanks for the news about warmer temperatures on the way.
No problem. Take advantage while you can.
That's right. All right. Thanks, Jen. Have a great day. Again, Jennifer Fucicki from Weatherology. I saw that as a meme, Greg, I think a week or two ago when we first got some snow. And it's one of those where it looks like, something from aristocracy, you know, people all dressed up and looking down their noses. It's like the feeling when you have a south-facing asphalt driveway when you get a dusting of snow, a little bit of sunshine takes care of it. No worries.
I'm not doing anything today. I'm not going out with the peasants.
No. And you know what? The one time you forget that it's not going to warm up that much, and then it becomes a skating rink, and you're like, well, I'm host for, for months. I will try
I'm
not
host.
To do that. Yep. Oh, does that now count as one of the old man words
that
I use?
No, I think that's a northern word, actually. That's more of a northern, like, I'm host.
Okay. All right. Good. I was a little concerned that where the line is when I'm using words like balderdash.
Well, I mean, you do that, and it's just, we do that, and you use an old man where it's, turn down your rock and roll music.
Yeah, again, I would be guilty of that. when we come back, we will pour one out for Doug Burgum, who will not be president of the United States. Who? Tell you in a bit. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin this Tuesday, when you're here, you're up north back in a bit.
The Tap. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station, the Devil's Advocates Radio Show,
Who's your Bob? Who's your daddy? What you got for us, Bob?
Look, you could dig Richard Nixon out of the ground right now, have him declare as a Democrat, and I would vote for him before I would vote for Donald Trump.
Dead Tricky Dick over Trump.
And I hate Richard Nixon.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is 93.5 The Tap. K.
Had to grab my heart back. God knows something had to change.
Again, Alicia Keys had the number one album this day in 2012 with Girl on Fire. But Greg, I just got a text from Dr. Lyerly, and I think that this is another effort to make me feel old. She was noting you being dressed up as a ninja today, perhaps unintentionally, perhaps intentionally. And she suggested a bumper music by Bare Naked Ladies, a song called The Ninjas. I'm not familiar with it, so... Yeah, I'm going to count on you to screen that for me. You're laughing like...
Sure. Dr. Lyerly's just cool.
And I think sometimes she knows that's all the why cool she music. Does that.
She knows all the it's cool just, music.
She does. And it's just her way of saying, hey, Grandpa, why don't you try listening to something from this century? And maybe I will give that give that a go.
I'm sorry. You have Alicia Keys in today's history of music, and we're playing her as bumper music. You are... I'm sorry, you are cool.
Aw, that's very nice. He said to the guy who just plucked any song off the album because he'd never heard that song
Jesus,
before.
Jesus, man, take the compliment. Nice. Just take the compliment and move on. Good Lord.
Yeah, that transparency is such a terrible thing sometimes here. And I appreciate you speaking of the old man stuff. You didn't pick on the new glasses today. We're trying out some new frames.
I'm liking it. I mean, you usually don't wear glasses. I'm figuring you're a contacts guy, so I figure maybe today was...
I have been, although, again, when you first put them in at 4:30 in the morning, you know, by about 8:30, we're like, okay, we're done with these. And so I thought, well, maybe I better start, you know, looking at some new frames.
I did contacts once. It was a horrible experience. I hated it. I never did it again. In fact, these are readers. I got laser surgery 20 years ago.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Yeah.
And you had a good experience with it.
Very good experience from start to finish. They told me right up top, they said, this doesn't mean your eyes won't deteriorate. They do over age.
Yep.
You will probably have to get readers, as most people do. That's what I have them for, close-up stuff, reading, when I used to cut hair. But when I'm not doing any of those things, I take them off, and my eyes, I can see clear across. It's great.
My wife had a very good experience with LASIK. And again, they said, you know, you'll need readers, but then over the years, you'll eventually, you know, degrade. But boy, she was a big fan, which helps being a surgeon and all that. Apparently you're supposed to be able to see clearly. So good on her. But contrast that with my mother-in-law. Her mom recently, well, not recently, but did not have a great experience with cataract surgery. And I've known of other people. Mm-hmm. Known of them, don't know them, who also, when an eye surgery doesn't go right, I mean, that's some of the worst. And so my eye doctor, you know, a few weeks back for the prescription for these new lenses said something like, well, you're probably about 5 years off from cataract surgery. And the advice I got from my mother-in-law and somebody else was to not delay, you know, get the cataract surgery as early as you can and don't let it get worse beforehand. Yeah. And again, now that's different than what the doctor says. So I should listen to the non-doctors, right?
Well,
it's kind of like I get all my information off the internet. So
you kind of have an in-house consultant too, to tell you like, how do you juxtapose all that information you're getting as well. So I feel like you have in-house counsel.
My own personal gynecologist. Yes. She's really helpful with the eye stuff.
Here's what I will say, though, as far as laser surgery, because I did, like I said, I had a great experience, great doctor, wonderful. I did have a friend who decided to go with laser surgery on the cheap.
Uh-oh.
And it took 6 months before his eyes finally. So if you're going to get lasers pointed into your eyes and shot lasers into your face, spend the money and check your work insurance. They may cover part of it.
Good to know. All right, good. I'm glad we've enjoyed iChat for today. And now let us
presented by Apple.
Let's pour one out for Doug Burgum.
Who?
Exactly. Well, he's the governor of North Dakota, who he believes you should have supported him for becoming the next president of the United States. And shockingly, that's not going to happen. Oh. Doug Burgum has ended his White House run. What was his qualification for thinking that he could be president? Well, he's wealthy. He's a former software executive who was able to spend big bucks to campaign to become governor of North Dakota, tried to translate that into a run for president. And look, it's not to say that, you know, people can't come out of nowhere like Jimmy Carter did in 1976, but it's tougher than ever before.
Yeah.
And I mean, let's admit, if he'd have been very impressive in the first debate or two, yeah, maybe he could have got some traction. But I watched those debates and I don't think he really, again, you're asking me who he is. So clearly he didn't make an impression generally.
I mean, he when I watched the debates with him, he had that sort of air of like, well, I'm me. Huh? Hey, like I'm a governor of North Dakota. Do you understand what that means?
Do you know who I am?
Yeah, but instead. But instead,
Doug Burgum. Yeah. He wanted to say, Doug Burgum. Of course.
The only Doug I think of when I think of politics is the second husband. He's the only Doug in my life.
Yes, and it'll stay that way for a little while here. Exactly. But Mr. Burgum sold his software company to Microsoft for $1 billion and then has, you know, tried to make the most of that, but he is leaving the race. And everybody else now is starting. The other headline I saw today was many Republicans are ganging up on Chris Christie now to drop out of the race and throw his support behind Nikki Haley, because she seems to be the one gaining traction as Ron DeSantis continues to fall out of public favor, that Nikki Haley would be the only one, the only Republican, last one standing, who could conceivably stand up to Donald Trump and become the Republican nominee for president. Who sees that happening? Now, okay, roll tape on this, yeah. Okay? Roll tape, because if she becomes the nominee, you can put this right back in my face. But honestly, raise your hand if you see Nikki Haley becoming the Republican nominee.
I can see her challenging him. She's the best challenger, even though I think Chris Christie is a better candidate. He has more experience and just can handle that whatever. But, you know, you got Fox News saying the election wasn't stolen on their network, and you have them basically setting Ron DeSantis up to just get publicly destroyed by Gavin Newsom. I mean, they're trying to clear the decks of their support.
I haven't watched it yet because I knew it was just going to be, and I have no sympathy for Ron DeSantis.
No.
But I mean, it just was not going to be a fair fight.
No.
You know? And so at some point I'll take a look at it, but yeah, Ron DeSantis, again, remember, it wasn't that long ago, everybody said, he's the one, he's the guy, he's it. And then he started speaking.
He's the guy who will save us from the liberals and will take us to the promised land of the red wave.
And not so much.
Not at
all. Our friend Chris Hambuck Boyle just chimed in on Facebook about cataracts. Did the right eye last week, did the left eye yesterday. No more cataracts. Amazing experience for old eyes.
Cool. Right.
Well, thank you, Chris. We appreciate the input on that. And one more note before we pause and then bring in Hans Breitenmoser to talk about the upcoming Wisconsin Farmers Union Convention. And it's just a quick reminder that as Congress continues to work on some of its regular business, there's something that's been stalled for the longest time, and that is more aid for Ukraine to fight off a new Russian counteroffensive, and that, you know, the current aid package is dwindling and that Republicans are dead set on tying it to border security funding. Others want to make sure that there is aid that is going to Israel that is included. Others want to see aid to Taiwan put in this package. In all cases, they may be worthy efforts, but it is the one in Ukraine that I find especially troubling, that there are far too many people that are willing to play politics with the southern border and basically live up to a reputation of being part of the Putin wing of the Republican Party. And that is the last thing we need right now, is for Ukraine to fall. Hans Breitenmoser after this. You're up north.
One too many lies. Don't be surprised.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
CBS News Brief. A massive home explosion rocked Arlington, Virginia last night after neighbors reported someone inside firing a flare gun. Police spokesperson Ashley Savage.
Officers obtained a search warrant for the residence. As officers attempted to execute that search warrant this evening, the suspect inside the residence discharged several rounds. The house subsequently exploded.
No word on the fate of the suspect. Several officers received minor injuries in southern Gaza. People taking advice from Israeli leaflets and leaving the city of Khan Yunis, where an IDF bombardment aimed at wiping out Hamas leaders is intensifying. College leaders will be in Washington today to testify about anti-Semitism at U.S. schools. CBS's Stacey Lynn.
Today at a congressional hearing, lawmakers will hear from the presidents of Harvard, the University of Pennsylvania, and MIT on how they've responded to the incidents.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A group of GOP lawmakers are looking to dissolve the state's election commission ahead of next year's presidential election. The bill was released by Republican Representative Dan Knodel and 10 other representatives. Under the bill, the Wisconsin Elections Commission would dissolve and all elections-related duties would go to the Secretary of State. The Republican-led legislature would then have final say over any election issue made by the Secretary of State. If passed by the legislature, it is almost certain to be vetoed by Governor Evers. Airports around Wisconsin are getting money for safety and infrastructure upgrades. The Federal Aviation Administration is giving out $38 million in airport improvement grants. The money will upgrade runways, terminals, and roads. There are also plans for sustainability projects. The grants are part of a growing list of Wisconsin projects as part of the bipartisan infrastructure law. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Weather brought to you by Bug Tussle. Bug Tussle, we're out there because you're out there.
Bug Tussle. We're out there.
When I first had my baby, I'd get comments all the time about how happy I must be. I remember thinking, I want to be happy. Why don't I feel that way? It was hard to admit that, even to my doctor. But I'm glad I did. She told me it was postpartum depression, and that is very treatable. These days, things are feeling good, and we're both happier about that. Right, little man? I'll take that as a yes.
Mental health care is working for Simone. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
We could catch a few off and on flurries today, otherwise mostly cloudy with a high of 37 this afternoon. The wind out of the northwest at 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy, will drop to 23. Tomorrow will be mostly cloudy with a high right around 40. And then we're going to warm it up on Thursday with sunshine and highs in the upper 40s to near 50. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
Looking for a reliable, fast, and unlimited internet provider? Look no further than Bug Tussle. Whether you're streaming, gaming, working, or learning, Bug Tussle has you covered. Bug Tussle has continued to serve the rural communities of Wisconsin for over 20 years by providing the most reliable, high-speed internet and excellent local customer service. Call 877-227-0924 or visit btussle.com to get started. Bug Tussle, we're out there because you're out there.
93.5 The Tap.
Latrell spent more than 8 years in foster care. His world changed when he was adopted at 15 with help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption.
I think about how much we love him, and I wish we could have had him for his entire childhood.
The foundation is changing the lives of thousands of teens waiting in foster care. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
Tell a friend what's on tap.
There's a new station in town with conversation about Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley.
This is 93.5 The Tap. UK, 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 UK.
Again, temperatures in the low 30s. all across Wisconsin this morning, and we appreciate the weather report from Lake Geneva, where a listener from the Shaw writes in to tell us it's 30 degrees there. On the text line, we can see the number that's texting us, but it's not a caller ID situation. We don't see your name. So we'd always appreciate it if you send us a text message, just put on there, you know, Bob from Lake Geneva or, you know, whatever the case may be, you know, first name and hometown. We'd love to give you credit. And by the way, feel free to abuse that thing. You want to say good morning to somebody else somewhere else in the state, you know, let us know. We'll pass along those greetings, those happy birthdays, happy anniversaries, whatever the case may be. You just got to use that phone number, 844-967-2789. Again, 844-967-2789. We'll see the texts as they come in and try to rattle some of those off as they come in as well. Hey, the Civic Media app is going to be your friend tonight if you are looking to follow the Wisconsin Badger men's basketball team, because you see the Milwaukee Bucks are also playing tonight. And so different Civic Media stations will carry one game or the other. The Bucks are hosting the New York Knicks tonight, 6:30 in the in-season tournament quarterfinals. The winner advances to the Final Four in Las Vegas later this week. The Bucks will be on Oshkosh Air Support, WRJN in Racine, and 98Q Country in Park Falls. The Badger men's basketball team is at Michigan State tonight at 7, and that game is on locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids, News from the Center in Richland Center, and Lake Air in Amory. So here's where the Civic Media app comes in handy. The Bucks games are not on the app, but the Badger games are on the app. So if you'd like to listen to the Badgers, but you're not in Wisconsin Rapids or Richland Center or Amory, just pull up the app, select one of those three stations, Wisconsin Rapids, Richland Center, or Amory, and you're all set to get the Badger basketball game there. So get the app that way and follow along, and we'll tell you how both games wound up tomorrow morning right here on the radio. But this morning here on the radio is our friend Hans Breitenmoser, dairy farmer from up in Lincoln County in the Merrill area, who joins us for what I've referred to as some hot stove league talk, because we're somewhat in the off season where we look back at the past growing season in this case, and we look ahead, which is going to happen this weekend with the Wisconsin Farmers Union annual convention in Wisconsin Dells. Hans, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Pat. I'm fine. How are you?
All right. And I don't want to make it sound like, you know, the work ever ends and you're spending the whole day in your recliner. I'm betting there's still some things that need to get done on the farm. Well, especially a dairy farm.
Well, there's always stuff to do, but we've got all the corn harvested, all the beans harvested. There's no more crops to harvest, so that takes a little bit of the pressure off. But you are correct. The cows still need to be milked and cleaned up after and fed and so forth. So.
In fact, I was listening back as I'm preparing some end-of-the-year show highlights, and I was listening back to Ruth Conniff and some of the story subjects in her book Milked, all about the migrant labor on Wisconsin dairy farms. And I'm really looking forward to bringing that conversation back that we held in May, because it is that reminder that, again, there are work visas for migrant farm workers for crops. You know, so you get like this temporary visa to come in and help, you know, pick lettuce or whatever the case may be. There's nothing like that for dairy. That's year round, and that is still up in the air with immigration talk in Congress, which I guess fell apart again this week. Every time they try to talk immigration, you know, the talks fall apart. And again, this is something that's so overdue for Wisconsin dairy farm operations.
Well, it's absolutely overdue for Wisconsin dairy farm operations and dairy farms all over the country, and not to mention so many other industries that that rely on staff, right? I mean, we just don't have an immigration policy that matches the realities that we're dealing with, in the real world, whether that's North Central Wisconsin or any place else in the country. We've got work to do. There's plenty of it, and we need an immigration policy that recognizes that and tries to, keep the ball rolling rather than having all these silly roadblocks and so forth to disincentivize people from working.
Exactly. So one of the things that we get here in the newsroom, we get a steady stream of emails from the USDA, the U.S. Department of Agriculture. And as I was looking at the final harvest figures for the year, they also include, you know, how many days did field work get done, you know, based on the weather. And then there's the topsoil moisture condition. So at the end of the year, there was less than 20% of the topsoil that was either short or very short on moisture. A nice change from earlier in the year when, Hans, I think certainly as late as the 4th of July, if not a bit beyond there, I think there was still concern that this was going to be almost a disaster year in terms of drought. And I mean, I think it would be fair to say, not for everybody, but fair to say that in many cases, the drought went away kind of in the nick of time to save the growing season.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we definitely had a lousy hay crop this year because we rely on a lot of grass and clover, and grass and clover tends to like wetter conditions versus alfalfa doesn't mind the dry weather quite as much. But it really didn't rain up by us here, in any measurable amount until the end of September. And then it started raining and just straight up would not quit. So it rained pretty much all of October, which gave us a little bit of heartburn in terms of trying to get some of these crops harvested. But then it turned out after that spell went through and we got to the end of October and into November, we did get plenty of nice days. So most people were able to get their beans and their corn off without too much more drama.
Yeah, I don't think it's an exaggeration to say that all these conditions basically threaded the needle. You know, there was a very narrow window for these things to not go completely sideways, and that by and large they did. So as you reviewed some of what the USDA has compiled for Wisconsin in terms of, you know, milk prices and crop production, cattle prices, labor costs, the Wisconsin Farmers Union annual convention is taking place this weekend in Wisconsin Dells. But if you were the president of farms, you know, the high commissioner for Wisconsin agriculture, what would be your State of the Union speech, the state of Wisconsin agriculture in 2023? How did the year look overall when you eventually look back on 2023?
Oh, I don't know. I think it's kind of a mixed bag that ag always is. We definitely had some weather challenges, and they were so spotty, so that, you know, with the changing climate, we really struggle with that part, which is to say, you know, we can have some crops do pretty well in some areas and some not so much in others, to a way greater degree than we ever had. So weather continues to be a real concern, and the changing climate continues to be a real concern. And I think that's one of the things that Farmers Union recognizes and wants ag to get in front of, to the best of our ability, to say, how can we deal with the changing climate, and what's our role in mitigating some of these issues as far as our consumption of fossil fuel, our growing of cover crops, and so forth. So ag, I think, is on the front line of that. It has been this past year, and it will definitely continue to be going forward. As far as the economic side of things, again, I think we're still on this trajectory towards fewer and fewer farms and larger farms. We're seeing more and more consolidation outside the direct production ag and in the processing world, which is not good for consumers, and it certainly isn't good for producers. So that's another trend line that continues that we're certainly concerned about and trying to figure out, where we can be involved. And then I think, if I were the king of all the farms, I think I would be concerned, as everyone is outside of ag, with just the general health of our democracy, right? Because I've said it before and I'll say it again, good ag policy is like good every other kind of public policy, which is to say it comes from a place of compromise and a place of a healthy democracy. And right now, I think that's what everybody inside and outside of ag should be concerned about: the state of our democracy, where this gerrymandering legislation or litigation is headed, and what that looks like for the state of Wisconsin and for the rest of the country.
It reminds me, and at the risk of going off just on a bit of a tangent here, but there was another one of these very glowing articles about Congressman Mike Gallagher from Northeast Wisconsin and this China committee that they formed and he's part of. And he mentions a couple of different times in there that he can spend so much time focusing on the Chinese Communist Party because he's in a relatively safe seat and he doesn't have to pay attention to the politics and can work on things that, you know, either are going to ease relations between our countries or make things a lot worse, depending on how much interference it gets in. But it just occurs to me when somebody says, well, I don't have to worry about the politics of this. That just to me reinforces the whole point of, you know, the maps being gerrymandered, that he's like, I don't care what the voters say. I'm going to go work on this China thing because I feel like it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, and that's not, you know, that's not unique to Mike Gallagher. That's the case with so many of our quote legislators. They feel very safe in their districts because they are very safe in their districts. And it's not because they've done a spectacular job. It's because the maps were drawn to keep them safe in their districts, and that and so when you talk about the Chinese Communist Party, I think, you know, some of these folks should be looking at you know, the Republican Party in the state of Wisconsin, and trying to, you know, maybe make some connections on a party that is unable to be kicked out of power, is not a political party that's going to do great things for those of us close to the ground.
That's right, and you know. To just finish that point is just to say, look, there, it's not like we want to be in perpetual campaign mode. And I've always been one of those folks that if I could wave a magic wand, we would not have 2-year terms for members of Congress in the House. There would be 4-year terms, because when you are perpetually campaigning, it is tough to work on good policy. But that's the way to do it, is maybe to extend the terms, but not to rig the districts so that you never have to worry about being reelected. But let's get to the Farmers Union get together. We know, because you've hinted at this previously, that part of that discussion is going to be that continued effort to fight off corporate monopoly power, all the middlemen that are taking a share of our food dollar, of the farm dollar. I'm sure that that's going to be something that is discussed again this weekend.
Yeah, that's always top of mind with Farmers Union, and that's why I think Farmers Union is kind of a good organization, from the standpoint that we're not dealing with just symptoms. We're understanding the reasons why we do have the prices that we do sometimes. And it goes beyond that, right? Because it speaks directly to the conversation we just had regarding the terms and so forth. If you're in constant campaign mode, it's not just because of short, you know, 2-year terms, but it's also because of the amount of money that's involved in our political system. And that's one of the things that's so, you know, so directly connected, right? The prices that farmers get, the prices that consumers pay, and the influence that these same companies who are setting these prices have on our political discourse. And so that 2-year term and the constant campaign mode is by far exacerbated when you're talking millions and millions of dollars in campaign funds that need to be generated. If that money was taken out of politics, it would change the political landscape considerably, I think.
Another one of the topics that's going to be discussed is diversifying farm profits. That'll be a bit of a panel discussion. And again, I think it comes again to that note of the more competition and the more you can help local producers and local suppliers, the easier it is to diversify those farm profits and not be reliant on, you know, a subsidy check or the volatility of a single product.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think the diversification, and it's interesting too, because again, if, at the risk of being nostalgic, when you look back in Wisconsin's ag history, and I can even look back at our own farm, we had cows and pigs, but at some point that diversification was more of a liability than an asset. And when you, you know, just because of the way the markets work and so forth, we needed to focus on the dairy more so than on the hogs. But I think that diversification is a healthy thing on farms if the economies of it is set up correctly. And that does speak directly to more local processing capacity and the ability to sell these products more locally. And a lot of that, again, has gone away with the bigness, with the sort of ubiquitousness of the Walmart kind of model that says everything that we produce on this farm has to travel 1,000 miles, get processed, and then travel another 1,000 miles to a great big box.
That's right. This will all be discussed December 8th, 9th, and 10th in Wisconsin Dells at the Wisconsin Farmers Union Annual Convention. Hans Breitenmoser, thanks so much for telling us all about it. Enjoy the rest of your week.
You bet. Thanks, Pat. Appreciate it.
When we come back, Chad Holmes will be along from the conveniently named Chad Holmes Show to tell us what's happening on Bull Falls Radio next year on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Fish bait on a cracker, but I'll stay fat and happy, cause I got friends with tractors. And they'll grow you groceries.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
Coming up next across the Civic Media Radio Network, folks in Madison will be hearing Stephanie Miller, Wisconsin Rapids. You get James and Company. Many of the rest of you will be listening to Earl Ingram. They're all followed by As Goes Wisconsin, and then Todd Alba at noon, Matt Flynn at 2, Devil's Advocates at 4, Maggie Dawn at 6. But coming up next on Bull Falls Radio in Wausau is our friend Chad Holmes. Well, it's kind of Wausau. It's kind of Mosinee, because I heard him go on a rant the other day, and I felt so good about this rant because for weeks I kept trying to get the Wausau temperature, and I'm typing Wausau into the National Weather Service page, and it says no such station or something like that.
Right.
So I finally figure out the shortcut to put in Mosinee for the Central Wisconsin Airport, close enough, I figure, only to find out Chad's been going through this whole thing, but he refuses to say that the temperature in Mosinee is the temperature in Wausau. He wants the temperature in downtown Wausau, and sir, I salute you for that dedication to accuracy.
Pat, I pull up my phone because it says Wausau, because then I can Wausau.
Look at poor Greg. Poor Greg is... Are you upset about this?
No, I'm going to call you. Anyone who knows who's listening to the show, I'm going to call you on it. It's just not like that used to be.
I have become an old man in the last few years. I tell you, for so many different ways, but I've been in this market for a long time doing radio, and every day I would pull up the National Weather Service Wausau numbers, and then after 20, 25 years, it ended. Like, it must have been a month ago or something like that.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, like, what is, I know.
And I thought for like a day or two, like, oh, maybe the instrument station's down or something. Yeah. Look at poor Greg. He's just like, I can't believe these two old men are arguing about where they get the temperature from.
Hey, I will not apologize for accuracy. Okay?
Tell me more about how you met your lady friend at the sock hop.
Hey, when I'm walking uphill into the snow during the winter, I want to know exactly what the temperature is.
Okay, well, Grandpa.
That's also why I only mention the Waukesha temperature, because we're on the Shaw and WAUK. I don't go, oh, it's 31 degrees in Milwaukee and at Mitchell Field. There's plenty of other radio stations that'll do that. We are for that Waukesha part of Milwaukee. So
thank you, sir. I don't know what to say. My gratitude overflows my cup.
All right, we're done with him. Chad, what are you talking about? What you talking about on the show today or recently?
Today I'm going to talk a little bit about a new story that came out concerning high levels of some forever chemicals, PFAS. Again, we've had an issue here in Wausau as bad as anywhere in the state. And of course, Mayor Rosenberg has been the leader in terms of trying to clean up the water. But a story that just came out from the Journal Sentinel, and Laura Schulte used to work here in Wausau, but now sort of a general reporter for the Gannett service. And some very high numbers have come up in a private well that serves only the 3M plant here in Wausau, which is ironic. It's like, there's not, we don't know why this area, this one well, is really spiked.
I'm not sure I'd use the word ironic, and I'm not looking at cast dispersions on 3M, but I'd want to know more.
The thing is, when I talk about this, I'm not going to assume facts, not in evidence.
Yes.
But at the same time, again, it shows, and there have been those who have been a little bit critical of the mayor because it costs money to clean up the water.
Oh, here we go again.
And folks, including a morning show person just a few blocks from here, basically says, well, if people really want to clean up the water, they can buy the equipment and clean up their own water. Why should everybody have to pay for it?
Do they not own a VCR? Could they just go rent Aaron Brockovich?
I know. But it's just, I mean, again, this is something that's not going away. You can't put your head in the ground and assume, well, all of a sudden the water's going to be clean. No. Anybody who's against what we're trying to do in this community is putting their head in the ground. But again, this is a new story. This well is only servicing the 3M plant. So the company is telling their employees, just drink the water from their water coolers.
Sure.
We can't live our lives.
But for those who want to just, like you said, stick their head in the ground, I hope that they do and take a great big drink while you're there, because I just as it turned out, I actually saw that pivotal scene in the movie where like this corporation is telling Aaron Brockovich, like, oh, there's nothing to worry about, we can buy off these people, and she slides them a glass of water and says, here, take a drink of this, and they, you know, they know better. Mm-hmm. And they do that.
Again, I want my water clean, so I'll buy the proper equipment. What about all those other people that either are unaware or just plain can't afford the best equipment? Right. Again, it is such a selfish way to look at things. That's the bottom line.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I'm sure you've covered maybe one or two sporting events recently as well.
I'm getting tired already.
So. Oh my goodness! No, you got a long season yet, buddy.
I tell you, I was down in the Milwaukee area over the weekend, Friday and Saturday, doing some hockey. Tonight, I'm going down to Monona Grove with the Wausau West boys basketball team to do a game, because doggone it, it's what we got to do here. It's really, again, I'm fortunate to be able to tag along on the bus and have a good time, but it is a busy time. The winter is always a busy time. Fortunately, I'm not a skier or anything. I don't do anything else out of doors during the winter, so it helps get me through the winter faster.
That's why I like when Mayor Rosenberg was on and you were asking Katie, and she was saying she wasn't a winter person initially, but now she full out embraces it, you know, the snowshoeing and all of that. And I thought, good for you, because like I said, I've got my winter recreation activity. It's about 8 to 10 steps to the hot tub, you know, in the backyard, and that's where I got to go. You know,
don't forget, you got to carry that heavy old fashioned in your hand. Like,
yes.
Oh, it's the workout for today.
Yep, that's it. I'm good to go. But you get your winter sports, your indoor winter sports that you're covering for us, and we appreciate
it. Very
that.
Cold in those ice arenas. I got to tell you that much.
Oh, yeah.
I did buy two new winter coats for the first time in 25 years.
So I heard that.
And it's right back here. It's hanging up in my office there. It's a nice long black coat. It's very toasty warm, I tell you. It's fantastic. So I took advantage of the after Thanksgiving sale. I feel so good about myself.
You're listening to After Winter Fashion Tips with Chad Holmes. And
I like that he also says it's the last jacket he's ever going to buy. Like he's
such a man thing to say.
I bought two just in case I have an issue with this coat. I have the other one, and I don't have to go buy and shop it.
You bought a backup coat.
He bought a backup coat because he never wants to buy coats again.
I was looking at both of them. I thought, well, I'm going to splurge today because now I don't have to ever buy again. Because I would think I'm only going to buy one. Then why not? Let's go for it. They're half off. Let's just do it.
There again, Bull Falls Radio official fashionista, Chad Holmes.
This is the kind of stuff you get for the next 2 hours.
Coming up next on the Civic Media Radio Network. Thank you, sir. Have a great day. All right, Greg, you have a great day, too.
You as well, sir.
Tomorrow, we will talk about the growing list of school referendums already for 2024. Remember that you can follow us all day long. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com or upnorthnewswi on the socials. You can follow me, Pat Kreitlow, Up North on Facebook or Pat Kreitlow on Twitter. Again, remember, all of Wisconsin is America's true Up North, and we're glad you could be up here on the lake for a while. Have a great Tuesday. We'll see you tomorrow.
You're tapped in to the issues affecting the Valley and all of Wisconsin. Consider us the bartenders of friendly local talk. This is 93.5 The Tap. You can always continue the conversation on social media.
Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Timeout.
Oh, right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief.